Going to continue the hour by talking politics. Last week was the first Republican presidential debate. No Donald Trump on stage, but all the other major candidates were. What was the effect of that, if any, on the race for the GOP presidential nomination? We've got new numbers in on that from Public Policy Polling, and we are joined on the phone by Tom Jensen, who's the director of Public Policy Polling based out of Raleigh. PublicPolicyPolling.com is their website for more information. Tom, thank you so much for being with us today.
Hey, Aaron. Good to be with you.
So, Republican debate was last week. Where do things stand now afterwards?
Yeah, so these states don't have any particular significance other than the fact that we polled them in June and polled them again after the debate, so they're just a good comparison point. But we have new polls since the debate conducted in Montana and Wisconsin, and we had also done polls in those places early in June. And in June, Donald Trump had an average lead of 20 points in those states over Ron DeSantis, 44 to 24. And now Trump has an average lead of 36 points in those two states over DeSantis, 52 to 16. So since June, Trump is up 8 points. DeSantis is down 8 points. And then everyone else is in single digits. So I think the answer to whether anybody really got a huge head of steam out of the debate appears to be no, because there isn't anybody that's really risen up to be the clear third place person in this Republican field. It's still very much Trump and DeSantis at the top, but that Trump lead has gotten quite a bit larger.
Is DeSantis down because of his debate performance, or is there some other reason?
No, I think DeSantis was trending down already. It's just been a couple really bad, months for his campaign where there's just been a lot of attention to the fact that he doesn't connect with people very well, and the campaign itself doesn't seem to be very well run. Most of the news that comes out of the campaign is just about how they're bleeding through all their money and that sort of thing. So he's just in general had a pretty bad summer. So I don't think that where he is a product of the debate. I think it's just sort of the direction things are going. So besides DeSantis, the person who's had sort of the biggest change in their fortunes in a certain sense since early June is Vivek Ramaswamy, and that's not so much reflected in his actual support for the nomination. He was at 3% in June, and he's at 6% now, so that's not a particularly big difference. But he's gone from having 48% name recognition up to 71% name recognition over the last couple months. And he's gone from having a +4 net favorability rating to having a +19 net favorability rating. So I do think that he's somebody to sort of keep an eye on because he is becoming better known to Republican voters. They're generally liking what they see. It's not causing that many yet to say that they're going to vote for him. But you can at least see some underlying indications that things are trending well for him.
I was kind of amused in the opposite direction looking at the numbers at Chris Christie, who went from being very unpopular to being extremely unpopular after the debate. But his I'm going to vote for him numbers actually went up. So I assume that's the handful of non-Trump Republicans starting to fall into the Christie camp, right?
Yeah, to your point, only 15% of Republican primary voters have a favorable opinion of Christie, 70% unfavorable. But I think that Christie is having a little bit of an uptick in that small sliver of anti-Trump Republicans, even if there aren't very many people who like Christie overall. At least there's a clear reason for a few people to vote for him. And we saw a similar bad trend in Mike Pence's favorability rating between June and now. He was at -9 at 34 to 43 in June. Now he's at -33 at 27 to 60. So you can sort of see in those numbers for both Christie and Pence how standing up to Trump, even sort of in the smallest of ways, does not really seem to pay off. And obviously, there's been a lot of tumultuousness in the world of Donald Trump over the last couple months, all these indictments and all that sort of thing. And this is just the most Donald Trump polling sort of finding you could possibly have over the last 8 years. In June, his favorability was 69 to 22. Now it's 70 to 22. So there's been a 1 point change in his net favorability, even with everything, or in his favorability period, even with everything that's happened over the last 2.5 months. And that just sort of shows how set in stone views about Trump kind of are. There's just nothing that changes them.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, public policy polling, and if anything, it seems like support for Donald Trump among Republicans only goes up when the headlines are all about his bad behavior. That seems to have been the case in the last couple of weeks with the I'm going to vote for him numbers going up. How does the headlines about his bad behavior reflect among like independents or moderates?
I honestly don't think it really hurts him there either. I think, you know, I as a Democratic pollster, I'd like to be wrong about this, but I think we're heading for an election that's just very similar to 2020 in terms of Biden will win the popular vote probably by a decent amount, but I think it's going to be very close in the swing states. Basically, what we see when we go in and poll places is that there's more people who voted for Biden in 2020 who aren't so sure how they feel about him than there are people who voted for Trump in 2020 who aren't so sure how they feel about him. So I think in some sense there may be more people open to moving from Biden to Trump or Biden to third party, that sort of thing, than there are to moving away from Trump. You know, one thing that we've talked about before that's an interesting dynamic is we'll have a whole new cohort of 18 to 22-year-old voters in the electorate, and maybe that'll help Democratic prospects. But none of this stuff really hurts Trump, I'm sorry to say.
Well, with that in mind, you mentioned third-party candidates, and we just had the No Labels party that got ballot access in North Carolina. They've only got ballot access in 10 states, some of them swing states, some of them left-leaning, right-leaning. They want to get ballot access in all 50. What are they? Is the movement for a third-party candidate having an impact in polling at all? Are we seeing like popular support for a general third-party movement or a particular candidate?
Well, when you do throw like somebody who would be a serious third-party kind of candidate into the mix, like Liz Cheney, that entirely takes away from Biden and not from Trump. We've done polling that, maybe we'll say that Biden's up by 4 on Trump nationally, and then you throw in Liz Cheney as an independent candidate, and she'll get like 18%, and then all of a sudden Trump's up by 6 because almost all of that openness to voting for Liz Cheney comes from people who would otherwise vote for Biden instead of people who would otherwise vote for Trump. So to your point, I don't think that No Labels is going to have a huge impact on the election. It's something where I could see it getting like 1% in North Carolina, maybe at a maximum. But it's definitely something that's more likely to pull from Democrats than Republicans. And we saw how super close North Carolina was in 2020 and really has been in most recent presidential elections. Even a small thing like that could be enough to put the state into Trump's column again.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, and as we wrap up this conversation, other things from the numbers out of the GOP debate that you're seeing that people ought to know?
Well, we talked about this 6 weeks ago, but it just continues to be the case that one of the most broadly liked Republicans is Tim Scott. He has a 50% favorability rating, 15% unfavorable. That plus 35 net gives him the best numbers other than Trump and DeSantis. So far, that's not translating into any increased support for Scott, but it does sort of just position him as someone who maybe if somebody's going to make a run later, it could be him because he's at least popular with the Republican base. And then we also saw a little bit of an uptick for Nikki Haley. A lot of the sort of punditry about the debate really had positive things to say about her. And we did see her favorability rating increase 8 points from June to August. So she's seeing a little bit, again, not necessarily that a lot more people say that they're going to vote for her, but there's at least a lot more people who are sort of seeing her positively and receptive to her message and that sort of thing. So though I think you'd have to say that the big takeaway from the debate was that it didn't have much impact on anything, and perhaps that's unsurprising with Trump sitting it out.
Again, publicpolicypolling.com is the website. Go there and find out more information. Tom Jensen, thank you, as always, so much for being with us.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.